Hare Krishna. Reading from my glorious master, Hong Kong, 1970 to 1972. Our Hong Kong visa connection. 6 months after our arrival in Hong Kong, Prabhupada initiated Jan as Jagatarini Dasi, servant of one who was capable of saving the entire universe. Our preaching was beginning to increase. We preached wherever we found an opportunity, chanting in Chinese sections of the city, visiting Hong Kong University and Hong Kong's International School, and holding Sunday school classes for the children of the Hong Kong Indian community. But our time in Hong Kong was running out. I had come on a 3-month tourist visa and had already extended it by 6 months. We applied for a missionary visa, but received no reply. Prabhupada wrote us and described his experience with the American immigration officials. He told us that governments don't like to change the purpose of a visa while the person is still living in their country. Prabhupada recommended that we approach influential men, especially Westerners, and ask them for letters of recommendation. We didn't know many people in Hong Kong and could not think of even one influential person we could ask. Suddenly, we remembered Mr. Gindro, the managing director of TWA Airlines in Hong Kong. Mr. Gindro had spent time in India, and he had visited and taken a prasadam feast with us at Chung King Mansions. We had tried to help his teenage son with his drug problem. Quote, yes, we decided we should see Mr. Gindro and get a letter from him, as Prabhupada suggested. We memorized Prabhupada's long letter as we traveled to the Hong Kong side of the harbor and TWA's office complex. Mr. Gindro immediately called us into his office and we repeated Prabhupada's words, emphasizing Prabhupada's suggestion and our need. We then asked him for a letter. Mr. Gindro leaned back. He first smiled and then laughed. I can do even better than that, he said. I'm going to a party tonight, and I will be seeing my friend, Mr. Watson, the head of the immigration department. I'll talk to him and try to get your work done. My comment, we were granted a permanent Hong Kong visa within a few weeks. A surprise telephone message. By 1972, we had rented a small second-floor flat on Cameron Road. Jagatarini decorated the walls with pictures of Krishna surrounded by cloth, beads, and peacock feathers. Prabhupada was supposed to visit us in Hong Kong, but our GBC had canceled his visit. Jagatarini was feeling somewhat desperate, so she went to Sydney when she heard Prabhupada was there. She spoke to him about whether or not we should stay in Hong Kong. Meanwhile, quite unexpectedly for me, Prabhupada's secretary, Sharmasunda, called me in Hong Kong from New Zealand, where Prabhupada had gone after his Australia visit. Prabhupada, he said, would soon be arriving in Hong Kong on a one-day stopover. We would then all travel together to Tokyo. Quote, Prabhupada is insisting, Sharmasunda said, that he stay at the Park Hotel. Why, I asked. Sharmasunda explained that Prabhupada's 1 day in Hong Kong was considered a stopover and the airlines was providing the hotel room at no charge. My comment, this was Prabhupada's first visit to Hong Kong. To be frugal with Krishna's money, Prabhupada accepted the airline's arrangement. Sharmasunda had explained that Prabhupada and his entourage would accept the airline provided transportation from the airport to the Park Hotel. A swan's entrance into the land of dragons. A large gathering of the interested, curious, and the devoted mingled in the Park Hotel's penthouse function room. The room was decorated with flowers, and the hotel couch was covered with a cloth. The air was filled with expectancy. About 30 Indian children and 100 Indian adults waited, along with our few Chinese followers. The kirtan began. It was nearing the time when Prabhupada would emerge from the hotel's top floor, walk up the one flight to the meeting room, and greet his Hong Kong Hare Krishna devotees. Suddenly, Prabhupada appeared, effulgent in saffron dress and flower garlands, and smiling sweetly. The kirtan increased in intensity. Jai Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. I fell to the ground in obeisance and quickly jumped up to lead Prabhupada to his sitting place. I had begged some gladiolas and was spreading them at Prabhupada's feet as he walked. By the time Prabhupada reached the couch, the kirtan was in full swing. The children chanted and the madanga and koto players jumped up and down. Even the staid Indian businessmen were swept into Prabhupada's enthusiastic welcome. One by one, admirers of Prabhupada's worldwide preaching came forward to offer garlands of Hong Kong's indigenous flowers laced with gold and silver tinsel. They touched his feet as everyone chanted Hare Krishna. An inappropriate offering and a test. I offered the remaining gladiolas near Prabhupada's feet. Prabhupada frowned as he whispered softly to me, "They are spoiled." He then quickly smiled and added, "Oh, you have so many students." "No, Prabhupada," I smiled back. "You have so many students." My comment, "Patram pushpam param toyam." Krishna accepts even a leaf, a fruit, a flower, or some water from a devotee if they are offered with devotion. Implicit in that phrase, with devotion, is that the offering must be clean, carefully prepared, and suitable for the person to whom the offering is made. Common sense is helpful. Since this incident, I always examine the quality of my flowers before offering them, especially to Prabhupada. Old, wilted, quote, spoiled flowers are not acceptable. Prabhupada did not allow me to become discouraged with his comment about the spoiled flowers. He quickly followed it with, "Oh, you have so many students." That statement did not enter my heart as a simple comment. It felt like a test. I momentarily paused, then responded with heartfelt confidence. These were his students, not mine. I was simply acting as his servant. Any other reply I felt would have been improper and also inaccurate. Okay. Hare Krishna.